This is CICK News. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Dan Messick. Each week, we provide an update about events and issues developing right across Northwest BC. CICK Smithers Community Radio is on the dial at 93.9 FM, or you can listen online at smithersradio.com or subscribe to our podcast. CICK News broadcasts from unceded Ginamden Territory, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. On our show today, we take a look at the 62nd All-Native Basketball Tournament that just wrapped up in Prince Rupert. CICK News was on the ground in Rupert to get an intimate look at the famed tournament that was on hiatus for the past 2 years. We'll dig into the sights and sounds of one of the most prestigious basketball tournaments in the land. Also, the annual Schnee Day at Hudson Bay Mountain took place on a bright and sunny Sunday this past weekend. Contestants young and old flung themselves into the slush puddle for the 2022 Slush Cup. We'll hear that report from our producer Pam Hassan, and we'll get a quick word from Chris Lawrence, Operations Director at the Town of Smithers, to discuss the recent water quality advisory issued for Smithers amid elevated levels of manganese in our water. Stay with us.
Kayla Vickers, and I am playing for Kakatla Warriors.
Right on, Kayla. Maybe tell me how you guys been doing so far in the tournament.
Well, we came out strong in our first game, and we won 88-23 against Elliott Bay. They're newcomers, so it was good to see them out. And we had a tough loss against the defending champs from Kitimat. Came up 5 points short in the yesterday's game there. And now we're just tracking our way back to get to the finals.
Yeah, so you guys are on sudden death.
Yeah.
You know, you got to win this game. You're doing fairly well. We're at halftime. It's 43-18. I guess, how are you feeling about the game so far?
Good. We're doing really good. We're getting our young ones out there running, trying to control them and get them going so we can warm them up for the next game too. Yeah, our vets here are pulling it off for us though.
I guess, how many tournaments is this for you?
First, actually, since COVID, yeah. I haven't been playing. Oh, as a team?
Yeah.
Last 2020 we played, there was a bunch of us as the same. We have a newcomer, Christy Innes, that just joined us. Marissa Innes, her sister, just joined us too. And I think Cadence Brooks, she's a newcomer, and Evelyn Innes just joined us too.
Right on.
Yeah, the rest of us are from the 2020 team.
And how do you feel like the team is gelling so far?
We're getting going. In our first two games, you know, we were just kind of trying to figure each other out. We don't get to play much as a team. You know, we all kind of live different areas here, and we're just trying to kind of find each other right now, just gelling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess for you, you know, the tournament, what does it mean for the All-Native tournament to be part of it and come back every year? It
means everything, you know. We have pride. You can see here with all the fans that are cheering for us. You know, Kakatla is a very small community, but they have a lot of heart, and they come and cheer every single game for every Warrior team.
Yeah.
It's great. It gives you goosebumps, you know.
Yeah, a lot of energy.
Yeah, it is. It's great. I love playing for Kakatla. My second year. Nice. So it's really nice to have these fans. They're so loud and so supportive with us.
Yeah, and I bet being back, you know, at it after COVID, you know, a couple of years of not having this in the fans, you know, probably feels pretty good.
It does. It was quite nervous our first game, you know. A lot of us were feeling that energy. We're just kind of not scared, nervous, very nervous, you know. We're like, oh my God, the fans, like, they're so loud, like... It was more the fans that got to us than the actual game, you know. We're like, holy man, we missed this.
Yeah.
Playing for our home teams.
No doubt. I guess just the last couple of minutes here before you head back to it, you know, going into the second half, trying to keep up the points, what do you got to do with your team here?
Just play tough D, you know, smart. We're getting in a little bit of foul trouble here and there, but, you know, we're just going to run them like we usually do and play our game, attack the hoop and try to get those calls for us.
All right. Well, thanks for your time. Good luck.
Thank you.
That was Kayla Vickers, captain of the women's Kitkatla Warriors. Her team went on to win that nail butter of a game against Kincolith.
Just tell me your name first.
Peter Hogan.
How's this year been going so far?
Well, we're trying to rejuvenate the All-Native after the COVID shutdown, but it didn't take much. We just had to enter the teams, and the fans are here, and opening ceremony was a complete sellout, so yeah, things are going good.
Peter Hogan is the chairperson for the All-Native Basketball Tournament.
The perennial powers like Skidigit, Kitkatla, and Ahauset, you know, they look good, but Metlakatla Alaska looks good too, so I think it's there's some pretty good teams in the senior division for sure.
How many teams do you have in the tournament this year?
We have 52 teams total. We have 20, just about 20 ladies teams. We have teams as far south, of course, as Vancouver, Burnaby, and as far east as Similkameen and Carameas. And, of course, we have our teams from the west coast of Vancouver Island in Ahauset and Heshkwit. And then we also have two teams for the first time in a long time, first time in the All-Native, from Alert Bay, both the seniors and the ladies. This tournament now is no longer just a sporting event, of course. We have our cultural night, and the groups, they all send in their applications for a chance to open the tournament. So that's a pretty big sense of pride for any community if they get to open the tournament, right? And social. Like, these people, a lot of them just watch maybe a little bit of basketball, but they just want to talk to one another. They haven't seen one another in a couple of years now. So it's been really good. It's actually been really nice.
Yeah. How long have you been organizing this tournament?
I've been the president since the 50th. But I've been involved for quite a few years, since I was 13 years old, but not on the committee until I was in my 30s, right?
What does the tournament mean to you? What is it all about? It's not just about basketball. I mean, basketball is kind of the main event.
I think, myself personally, I was a basketball player. But, and then of course all my First Nations friends played in this tournament, right? So I started out as a scorekeeper, then I ended up a referee, and then next thing you know, I'm on a committee to try to organize this, right? And then now I guess I've been around long enough that they trust me with being the president and trying to keep all the, we all have departments, right? Everybody on our board has a job. So it's up to my board to make sure that their department runs smooth, right?
Yeah. When you're not here at the tournament, what happens the rest of the year getting ready for this?
Well, you know, right now after the tournament's over, like, yeah, things slow down. But the thing is, we have to get ready for September because we also have a tournament in November called the qualifying tournament. And so that's the teams that want to get into the big tournament. They come to the qualifying and see how they match up and then see who gets to come in.
Wow, so this is the best of the best then.
Yeah, what we do is the first three teams that lose in each bracket, they have to re-qualify. And then any new teams go up against those three.
If people who haven't been here before and they're thinking of coming the next time around, what should they know about the tournament? What's kind of the one thing they should know, what they're going to see, what they're going to hear if they come check out the All-Native?
Well, we have a crafts fair that's right across from the intermediates and seniors. We have a portable court that cost us a lot of money. It's like an NBA court that's on top of the arena surface. And so you can take your pick on where you want to wander around into the crafts fair, watch the basketball on this side, go into the arena, watch basketball on that side. So there's a little bit of movement for sure. You can move around, right?
Yeah. So tell me some of the players that come through here.
Okay, well, right now, this year, I mean, Jacob Tom from Kitkatla, you know, he's, if not the top player, one of the top players for sure, and he's helped his team, you know, through this, and he's played even some semi-pro ball down in Australia and what have you, right? But going back to some of the history of the All-Native, Heidelberg, Alaska, when they started joining the tournament, they started to dominate the divisions, right? And Sid Edenshaw was a big part of that. And like I said, he's won 24 championships. So people win four and they think they're doing good, right? So 24 is quite the monumental feat on his part. But Sid talking to me, he wanted to be in the Hall of Fame of this All-Native because of the spirit and the inter-village rivalry. That's what he wanted to be. He's in the Hall of Fame of the Indigenous Games for All of North America and the gold medal tournament in Alaska. But he wanted to be in the Hall of Fame of this one. And this tournament was the last one he got a chance to be in the Hall of Fame of. Yeah.
So it sounds like there's some, you know, prestige that goes along with this tournament amongst the players.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And like one of the top players on a Howsett from the outside of Vancouver Island is Luke Robinson. Now, Luke Robinson, he played with Jacob Thom at VIU. So, you know, like the connection from all these First Nations players going off and playing in college, it's pretty pretty cool.
And just the last thing for you, Peter, you know, for players that keep coming back to this, you said you're a player once. What do you think keeps them coming back to the tournament?
The excitement of the fans. Like, playing in front of 1,500 people, that's only, like, doesn't seem to have the same emotion as playing in front of 1,500, and then, of course, your whole home village, right?
Yeah.
We've already run through almost 2,000 bands just for the COVID testing, so that gives you an idea.
Oh, wow. Great. Well, Peter, thank you so much.
All right, you bet.
Yeah, take care.
Okay, bye.
Terrence Robinson.
Terrence, maybe tell me a little bit about the game you guys just had.
It was fun. I was all ready for it. The first game was kind of off, and then I just started, just hustling and had fun. And it was awesome. I enjoyed it, and I did better today than I did yesterday. So
nice.
It was just a warm-up yesterday, so I'm all ready now.
The Saints seem to be a pretty tough team, so how does it feel to beat them?
Oh, it feels good, yeah. They are pretty tough. Got banged around, but we came back and won, and it was awesome, yeah.
How's the tournament been going for you guys?
It's been going good. We had the first game was back-to-back, like back and forth all the way to the end, lost by 2-3 points against Massage, so and then we come back to win this game and ready for the next game.
The All-Native Basketball Tournament happens every year. It's huge. You know, it's been going on for more than 60 years. What keeps bringing you back?
Just my team to represent Kikala all my life. I've been representing Kikala all my life, and I'm just happy to be here. I almost took a year off this year for the first time, but my buddy came, and let's go, so I came. And I wouldn't miss it for the world. So.
Right on. Yeah. Well, good luck in the next game.
Yes, thank you very much.
All right, yep. Take care.
Yep.
That was Terrence Robinson, captain of the men's Kikatla Warriors. In the end, the women's top title would go to Vancouver, a first for them. The intermediate title went to Van City, which won over hometown rivals Prince Rupert. The senior men's division was captured by Kikatla Warriors, a third championship for them, inching out Metlakatla. And finally, in the men's Masters Division Championship, Anishka Showdown with New Ianch capturing their second All-Native Basketball Tournament Championship in a row, pushing out Gitwin Silk. Congratulations to all the championship teams and for all the participants of the 62nd annual All-Native Basketball Tournament in Prince Rupert's. Coming up next, Pam's report from Schnee Day.
The chairlift is the only sound you can hear on Sunday, April 10th at Hudson Bay Mountain around 1:45. The typical whoops and hollers from the snowboarders and skiers below are noticeably absent. If you're new here, you might not know. But everyone is at the bottom of the T-bar watching the annual Schnee Day Slush Cup.
Excellent. So I'd like to let everybody know they're in good hands here today. No matter how poorly this goes, you will not be severely injured.
Hudson Bay Mountain has been hosting Schnee Day to commemorate the end of the ski season in Smithers. There will be two more weekends of T-bar laps available this year, but the chairlift has closed. CSEK News was there to partake in the festivities, which included barbecue, some tasty beers, silly costumes, and also watching kids and adults hurl themselves down a snow ramp to try and cross the 25-meter pool of slush and icy water without falling in.
Okay, so breaking the ice here, literally, because you can see there's a fair bit of slush there. Jared Long!
All right, first one. It's an airport, guys. It's here in New Jersey.
Jason Northcott.
And what do you keep on looking up there for?
Well, there's a seven-year-old, probably pretty scared, a little anxious, you know, thinking about what he's in for right now.
And what is he in for?
Well, it looks like about 20-meter, 30-meter pool of slush.
Yeah. Is this his first time?
Yes, yes.
Oh my God.
His first time.
Corwin's done it before, though?
No.
Oh.
So you
got two
firsties. Yeah.
Wow.
Two firsties. He's 12, so, you know, at least he could swim.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty happy about that. Has a bit more weight, so momentum's good.
Yep.
Let's see how he does.
Corwin. Yeah, Corwin!
Corwin from Spears, everybody, here he comes.
Woo! Here he goes.
Tips up, tips up.
How would you describe what you're wearing today for our radio listeners?
Well, I am like a flashback to the 80s. I have my nice tights on, and I have my gold chain, and showing off a little bit of chest hair, looking pretty dapper.
Yeah, yes. I would say so. Yeah, well done. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. All right, next up we've got Naya. Naya Donio. Naya, where are you from? Naya's from Spears. She's got a red cape, so can't use to go wrong with that. Are you ready for this now? Is your first time? You'll get her. Naya, everybody give her a hand.
Woo! Oh!
First one down.
What's your name?
Lane.
And how long have you been skiing?
Like 9 years.
9 years? How old are you?
11.
Whoa, okay, so you started off.
Yeah.
Are you a good skier?
I'd say so.
Can you snowboard as well?
Not really.
What do you like about Schneide?
It's really fun.
Yeah.
There's lots of activities and stuff.
Do you hope to get splashed?
Well, I'd rather not.
Well, you're sitting pretty close for not wanting to get splashed.
Yeah, that's true.
Great, thank you. I saw your reed, right?
Yeah.
And so you did your first jump. Did you make it?
Almost. My feet got wet.
Well, that's not too bad.
No.
Are you excited?
Yeah.
How does it feel to actually do the run?
Pretty good.
Yeah. What's your favorite thing about Schneide?
The water.
Really?
Yeah.
So you look all day you're waiting for this part.
Yeah.
You're not afraid to just get soaking wet?
No.
So how do you get home? If you fell in and you got all wet, what would happen?
I got extra pair of clothes.
That's it. Okay, good luck, Reed.
Thanks.
The meaning of Schnee means snow in German. I asked a community Facebook group if anyone knew exactly what it meant, but it was Connie Scott, one of the authors of the book Mountain of Change, 1960 till 2020, an historic account of the Hudson Bay Mountain Ski Resort, who gave me the definitive answer. Here's what's in the book. Schneide started on the ski hill in the late 70s to celebrate the last official day of operations for the ski season. It happens on a Sunday in mid-April, and generally, with the blue sky and warm temperatures and longer daylight, it encourages the flash of bare arms and legs on the ski lift. This is the most fun day on the hill and best attended event, as everyone is welcome to participate. So thank you to everyone who did participate, and congratulations to everyone who made it across the slush.
Coming up next, my conversation with Chris Lawrence, Director of Operations for the Town of Smithers, about the current water advisory.
My name is Chris Lawrence, and I'm the Director of Operations for the Town of Smithers.
Great. Chris, thanks so much for being with us. We saw that there was a water quality advisory issued the other day for Smithers, and we just wanted to touch base about some of the issues with the water at the moment and why the advisory was issued for the town of Smithers.
So the advisory was issued due to the manganese levels in the Smithers community water system. And why that advisory went out is Health Canada regulates water quality parameters through the Canadian Drinking Water Quality Guideline. And the guideline sets a maximum acceptable concentration for manganese and other parameters as well. But for manganese, it sets those parameters in drinking water of 0.12 milligrams per liter. And the Smithers drinking water system has recorded levels of up to 0.18 milligrams per liter. So that's why the water quality advisory went out.
And maybe you could, I guess, describe what is manganese, and is this something that most people should be concerned with, that it's in their drinking water, overseeing heightened levels of it in our drinking water?
So manganese is actually an essential element for people and is found in various kinds of foods and in some drinking water sources as well. Consuming small amounts of manganese, whether it's in food or water, is needed to stay healthy. This advisory is in place for bottle-fed infants, and out of an abundance of caution, parents should consider an alternate source of water for preparing infant formula. The drinking water can be used for all other purposes, including consumption for other community members.
So this shouldn't be a problem for, you know, toddlers or, you know, children, other than children who are infants. This should be fine for every other community member other than infants. So children under the age of one, more or less.
Yeah, we have, we also have a frequently asked questions section that is on our website. So the Town of Smithers website has this advisory, and it also has a link to some good information and questions that people might have if anyone wants to have a look at that.
I guess, you know, since you mentioned it, how was the advisory issued? Because I know I've spoken to a few people who had no idea that this advisory was issued.
So the advisory was issued through a few sources, and so key stakeholders, and a notification through website and some other forms as well, to try to get the word out there to as many places as we could.
Have you had any questions about that? People calling the town to clarify any of this?
We've had a few calls in to clarify, and it hasn't been as many as expected, and we're hoping that the information that we've also provided on the notice itself and through the website, that we can address a lot of those questions that may come up.
I guess the other thing I wanted to touch upon was, you know, how did this happen? When did the town notice that there was a heightened level of manganese in the water supply? And also, what is the town doing to correct these levels?
So elements like iron and manganese, those occur naturally and are typically found in groundwater sources. So the town is actively working with environmental health officers at Northern Health to develop strategies to reduce the concentration of manganese in the drinking water system.
And I guess if anybody is, you know, worried about this, you know, what would you tell them? Is it still safe and perfectly fine to drink the water straight out of the tap?
So as mentioned previously, the advisory is specifically for bottle-fed infants. So the water can be used for all other purposes, and that includes tap water. If there are concerns from the community out there, like extra concerns, then anyone from the public could go through some of the frequently asked questions that we've placed on the website, but they could also consult with Northern Health or a family physician as well to understand the public health implications on the elevated levels of manganese.
And then just the last thing for you, Chris, you know, this was issued a few days ago. How long can we expect this advisory to be in place?
So this advisory will stay in place until the town has effectively reduced the concentration of manganese. So it's below 0.12 milligrams per liter as set out in the Canadian Drinking Water Quality Guideline. So we're working with Northern Health to develop some idea of where we go next. So what are the next steps? And we're in conversations currently with Northern Health on that and what that looks like. I think it's important for the community to remember that the quality of water in the Smithers area hasn't changed. What has changed is the Canadian Drinking Water Quality Guidelines. So the guidelines have become more stringent, and it's not necessarily the quality of the water in the Smithers area changing.
I see. So this is something that occurs regularly. It's just reacting to the change with the Canadian guidelines rather than, you know, something new that is occurring in the water supply. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Chris, thanks so much for your time and clarifying some of these issues. We appreciate you opening it up there and making sure that people understand that their drinking water has not been affected by this. And we'll stay in touch and keep an eye out for when this advisory may be rescinded.
Excellent. That's great.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer, Pam Hassan, and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.